If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the divine. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is, are you in your final incarnation? Is this it for you? Are you winding it up? Are you awakening to that immortal self that in highest truth has never left the heart of God? If you are, let's launch forth in our seminar this evening. So let's take a deep breath. And that point where you touch into the very center of your being, allow it now to expand. Allow that point of light in the center of your being to expand. Allow that radiance to keep expanding. An ever-widening circles, circumferences. Let it overlap everyone and everything. And just keep expanding until you find that everything is in you and the vastness of your divine presence. Heal it. Bless it. See it all as divine, whole, and holy. For truly, illumination is but that. It's simply the expansion from the particular and the limited into the universal, unlimited, divine. That which is all names and all forms, including your name and your form, all bespeak of that one spirit that, like an electrical current, flows and illumines all the light bulbs, regardless of their color or their shape or their design. One current animates all forms. One divine creative intelligence illumines all minds. So why do we see differences? Only when the veil of the lower mind is what we are looking through do we perceive through duality. This was referred to in the Bible as eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. To do that, in the metaphorical story, Adam and Eve had to look away from the oneness in which they were totally in fellowship and oneness with their Creator. And thus, out of that glance away, an entire false creation proliferated. And mind drew us into a dream from which we are but gradually awakening. Some here, some there. Some of you have awakened. Some of you are in process of awakening. But when you awaken, you will find that you have never left the heart of God. It's all been a looking away, a dream, a distraction, a chimera of the mind. But contains no verity whatsoever. And so the return to this awareness is simply looking back to the truth and reminding oneself constantly that God alone is all that is. So that when you speak with the tongue, see with the eye, or plan with the brain, realize that who it is that speaks, sees, judges, and decides is that one intelligence, that one Atma, that one divine spirit, the one that, like a current, works in and through all men and women and children and everything. God. All the activity originates from a common source, God, who takes up residency as the light within your heart that manifests as unconditional divine love when it's fully opened and activated. And when that divine resident is ignored, neglected, or denied, there's no joy. There's no joy in your life without God. It's impossible. And consequently, you cannot bring joy to others if you don't have that connection to that light, that presence, that living word within you. It sings and rings as a sound current within you. That's the living word. It radiates infinite immortality. That's the living light. And it expresses through the human form, and the human form only, as unconditional, pure, living love. And when one resonates at that level, one is called a Christ. So we're all in stages, those of us in the final incarnation. We are in the stages of becoming Christed, Christ conscious. That is to say, the anointed one. The Christos is the anointing of the divine spirit as it inhabits and fully illumines and transcends, permeates and transcends the flesh. That is the Christos that each of us is now in process of manifesting to some degree. So God is all. He is all forms, all names. There is no place where He is not, no moment where He is not. Let no second pass without awareness of this. Let no event lapse without reminding you that that one divine Atma is the designer and the one who is facilitating all that moves throughout creation. So it is God, God, God. There is none else, nothing else, for the one who knows and has realized. So let's take a deep breath and relax. Let all belief in the world dissolve in the radiance of your divine presence. Whenever thoughts of illusion arise, and you can always tell what they are, they make you unhappy. They drop your energy. They drain you. They deplete you. How could that which is not truth have any support or substance to it? Can a phantom imbue you with life? Of course not. So realize that the very energy of happiness, joy, enthusiasm, that peace that passes understanding, and regardless of everything falling apart around you, you feel this quiet stillness within, and you can watch it with calm eyes, realizing that in highest truth, everyone is home with God and no one dies, no one is destroyed. All of these images are being projected out of an unhealed mind that we as light bearers are here to heal. Our light heals, our loving heals. All you need to do is to walk through a room embodying your presence. And everything around you that is hurting begins to heal. The fragments begin to come back together. The distortions in the mind begin to dissolve. Why? Because you are embodying the truth, the living light, the living word, the living love of the One. That's all you need to do, is allow that to inhabit you, to dissolve all the misidentifications with names and forms and labels and doings. The doer has to die, that the being that is can be all that is. So the doer is that sense of personal, separate efforting, doership, that part of you that thinks you are flawed or sinful or lacking or separated in any way whatsoever. That part of you that misidentifies with anything that is less than divine perfection is a fiction. It is not who you are. You are not your body. You are not your personality. You are not your mind. You are not your imagination. You are not your emotions. You are not your subconscious, your unconscious, your basic self, or your high self. Who are you? What are you? A mortal light and love. You are that Sat Chitananda, that being, that eternal being, that ever all-pervasive awareness. And radiant joy, ananda, bliss. That's who you are. That's what you are. Oh, you can take any form or any number of forms and appear in and out of any dimension at will. Because once you're fully illumined, you have free will, free choice, to come and go at will, doing the work of the divine. What is the work of the divine? Make all things whole. What is unwhole? Only the illusion. So what is the work of the divine? Again, to embody that truth, that love, that light, which when it walks through the world, imports heaven here now. So you don't address the shadows. Why address a fiction? In addressing the shadow, you're merely giving it energy, attention, and thus sustaining it. So people who try to fix the shadow are actually younger souls that are working through karma with that situation. But they're actually addressing and healing the inner warfare within their own being, the inner strife, the inner dichotomies, the inner inharmonies of unresolved old issues, unfinished lessons imported from many, many timelines and embodiments. So, the challenge before us is simply to be authentically who we are. And to begin with, you have to spend some time scrutinizing your nature. Study yourself. Study your nature. I often say you need to stalk yourself like a puma is stalking prey. Watch yourself from a distance. Watch your behavior of your hologram in time-space. Don't identify with it. Don't get sucked into the drama. Watch it. Don't judge it. Don't have attitude about it. Watch it with great compassion and considerable humor. Considerable humor. What an act. The God of the infinite spaces and universes is calling themselves Mary, Tom, David, Jeremiah, whatever. And it's the One. It's the One, disguised in that particular human vestiture. But at some point you doff that form that you're in right now, the body's going to fall aside like an outworn garment And then what? You move into the next body. You have a body on every dimension. And when you inhabit your divine levels, all bodies become yours. All names and forms become yours. You're like Sai Baba then. You awaken as the indweller in every heart. That is God consciousness. That is the conscious awareness of a full avatar, like Satya Sai Baba. So we awaken varying degrees of this, don't we? Yeah. But you have to be where you are until you're not. You have to do what you do until you don't. But meanwhile, you have to be here now. You have to live this moment. This moment is all the moments. This place where you sit contains the vibratory access to all dimensions, all planes, every state of consciousness. The human being is completely unique in that it's a full spectrum analyzer of every state of consciousness, every permutation of being, states of being, the human being can opt into expressing. No other being can do that. And likewise, no other being can speak directly for God as God. Only the human. On other planetary systems, there is an awareness already of conscious divinity. There's no sense of separation. It's like fish in the sea. And there is an unconscious, or perhaps a conscious, reveling in the joy of the divinity inherent in all life. But here on Earth, we don't have that, do we? We have a sense of alienation, difference, distortion, disease, the appearance of death, and all of these fallen thought forms, and they are fallen, which means they're false, they're temporary, they have only a certain span of time in which to be expressed because all limitation ends in death. The Bible puts it this way, the wages of sin is death. What is sin? Missing the mark of eternal perfection and oneness with God. That's all. It's looking away from the one to the many and being tempted to partake of the fruit of diversity and difference and duality. And the price is death, which is good news. That's not a bad thing. Death means that your pain, your suffering, your disease, your illusion has a final point, has an ending, has a denouement, has an expiration date. That's why Adam and Eve were barred from going and partaking of the tree of life. Because if they ate of it, then they would be locked into that fallen state for eternity. At least that's what the allegory says. Of course, we know that would be impossible. Because nothing that God created has left God. Ideas leave not their source. A quote from the Course in Miracles. We are ideas in the mind and heart of God. So we've left not our source, nor could we ever, except in a really bad dream. So right now we're seeing some really bad dreams, aren't we? But that doesn't mean we have to allow the mind to follow those bad dreams. We have to be present with who and what we are here and now. Who are you? What is your stage in life? Your age and your stage and your cycle of life determines your dharma, your appropriate engagement. If you're a wife, a husband, a child, a teenager, an elder person, there's a certain dharma, a certain right way of living that enables you to fulfill the duties that are yours to fulfill, that are righteously fulfilled, but not to let yourself get so involved in the drama that you forget who you are. So I think I need to talk about the characteristics of one who is in their final incarnation. I would have to say from personal experience, since this is my final incarnation, although I was told also I didn't have to come this time. I chose to come. But you know, when you choose to come, you very often get messed up because you get involved in karma again. So there's a certain danger when you've reached an enlightened state, liberation in some lifetime, in coming back, because when you come back, you have to pick up that lower mind, which is the seat of the ego. It's the manifestation of the ego, that sense of separation. And you have to appropriate a physical body that's of the earth. So you have that material element that's constantly like a drag on you, pulling you down, weighing you down. And then chances are you go unconscious periodically, because most people here are unconscious, so you fall in step with that unconscious behavior. And when you go unconscious, you create karma, which means you have identified yourself as the doer, and whoever is the doer gets the results of the doing, or karma, which then makes it so that you have to come back to balance the action or reap the fruit of the action, whether it's good or bad. You have to eat of the fruit of your creation. But nobody can do that for you unless you earn the grace of God. If you've earned the grace of God, God can wipe your whole karmic slate free and clean. As it says in the Bible, the blood of the Lamb made remission for that Adamic sin. And we were all washed white as snow, as many as would receive of that gift. That's the true meaning of the gospel. So that we become little Christs. We become little anointed ones. We become the ones that walk in the footsteps of the Master. The one who came from Venus. Didn't have to come, but came. Lord Jesus was from Venus, to dance the dream awake, to pay the price for those that would incarnate until hell freeze before they could have worked off the Atlantean karma that they were bearing on this planet. So he came and ate it, so to speak. He consumed it. He took it upon himself to the cross and lived through it, died the body, and then resurrected, reanimated it to its true state, Adam Kadmon, ascended whole and free. In other words, he went from the darkness to the light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality, which is the ancient Vedic prayer. So Christ came for everyone, not for people who call themselves Christians. You know, all of the religions are created by man, not by God, not by the ones that in whom the religion is founded in their names. None of the great beings, Mahapurushas, avatars, ever started a religion. They all come as immortal light, immortal love, immortal truth. That's it. So are you in your final incarnation? Well, you are. If you're absolutely passionately intense to be free, do you want to be free? Are you kind of sick of this not-so-merry-go-round? Are you tired of hurting and suffering and watching others hurt and suffer? Are you fed up with the trivialities? The dog-eat-dog, get-up, 9-to-5, gruel. Of course, if you're enlightened, it doesn't matter. You're happy on the freeway. You're happy on the 9-to-5. You're happy, fulfilled, and at peace wherever you are, whatever you're doing. So when you awaken, you're an even better person in terms of your work and your social obligations. You're a better wife, a better husband, a better child, a better student, a better elder. So it's not like you leave the world, you illumine the world with your truth. You heal the world with your wholeness. You comfort the world in your peace. You embrace the world in your heart. And you love everything and see the divine in all your eyes fall upon. That's the illumined state. That's what it is to walk the world awake as a Christed one. that's there for you and me and everyone. It's a choice. It's a choice. We all have the same 24/7. So it's up to you how you spend the coinage of your life, how you invest your time, your energy, your focus, your attention. And whatever you cultivate, you will make real for yourself. So you create the reality by your interpretation and your affection for that particular state, your attachment to it. Be attached only to the divine. Everything else is going to fall away. You don't take any of it with you but your truth. You're loving. You're light. Your unique being is all you take with you. But you know what? When you're living out of the lower fallen ego mind, those are what the Bible refers to as the works of straw and chaff. It doesn't go with you into eternity because it's not truth. What happens to it? It gets consumed in the fires of the lower worlds when they are rolled up and completed after a major age, 26,000 years. We have a Manvantara, great age, and creation goes on its cycle. And then at the end, everything, at the final end, and this is, you know, some billions of years later, I don't know exactly how long, but a long time, all of the lower worlds that are of illusion, that have been wrought of lower fallen mind stuff, gets consumed, and the great Sukhma, the great God force, recreates creation yet again in a new day of God. So that's why it's important for souls to get liberated, to get up out of frequency identification in these lower worlds and up into the soul planes and God realms, where they are in reality and Satchkhand, in the land of truth, Satyadesh, the true land, which is the soul plane, which is the fifth plane or fifth dimension. And on up, which are the worlds of immortality, where there's no death, no disease, no fall, no decline, where in highest truth you've never left. That's where the thrust of the consciousness is. When we talk about soul transcendence, it means to transcend the things of this world in your inner state of awareness, in your inner consciousness, so that you can live in the world but not get sucked into it and identified with it. You live in the world as a Jivan Mukta, a free soul, which makes you more attentive, more impeccable, more aware, more loving, more kind, more ordinary, because you're not trying to avoid anything, and you're not trying to cling to anything. You're not running after name and fame and men or women or money or whatever. You're not pursuing anything. You're living out of wholeness. You're living out of wholeness. So you will have a great intensity if this is your last incarnation. And I would say also that you will have many, many things happen to you early on in life. You'll have a very eventful life. You may marry several times. You may have many relationships or not. Depends on what's best for you. You could live, you know, alone because that's what you need. But most of us have a very adventuresome life, a very multifaceted life. You may go through 15 or more different career changes. You know, the world takes a dim view on that because you're supposed to, like, you know, stay in a job until you retire. But, you know, if this is your final incarnation, you can't waste time doing stuff like that. You can't be loyal to a job or a future retirement fund or whatever. What nonsense. You're going to make your life all about that? You're not going to find security in the world. Everything in the world's going to end. It's going to disappoint you. It's going to leave you. It's going to drop you. Because it's a fiction. There's no truth in it. The only truth in the world is you. You. Deep down inside, the divine you. That's the only real thing in the world is you. And remember, it's the one divine spirit that operates and animates you. that speaks you, thinks you, moves you, motivates you. Or it's the ego. And when you're operating out of ego, it looks like the devil. Looks like hell. Feels like hell. But the devil is simply the shadow. It's simply the opposite of truth, because we're in the world of reflected duality, reflection. So everything has its counterpart in the lower realms. Not on the soul plane, not in the God realms, but in the lower realms of polarity, there is seemingly a shadow or an adversarial aspect. And it's the ego, which takes embodiment and completely controls many people, to where the divine presence is so submerged that it can barely peep. So if you're having a very difficult, challenging life where one thing after another seems to beset you, that's very fortunate, because you as a soul have chosen to eat it all, to consume it all, because you want to be free. If you're initiated by a great master teacher or under the umbrella of a great avatar, a great God realized, a perfected master, that karma is greatly mitigated and in some cases completely softened or even dissolved in its entirety. You know, a truly God-realized person is like a descension of God. Limited, of course, because you're going to project all your stuff on that person, so they can only manifest at the degree that you can receive of them. Like Jesus said, he said, I have so many things to tell you, but you're not ready. You're not ready. You know, the people that he was ministering to 2,000 years were very primitive. They were the surviving remnant of the great flood, the great fall of Atlantis. They were traumatized. They were, you know, until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were kind of problems, problematic for Jesus. But then when they were anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, they went forth and became little Christs and did the works of the Christ for a period of time, until they were martyred, because the world doesn't like light bearers. You know, it kills the prophets and the martyrs or the saints. That's the nature of the ego mind. It tries to suppress the light. It wants to kill and destroy and maim and rob. But it's a fiction. It's a fiction. So the only answer is to awaken. And the more that awaken, the more we can shift the paradigm. And it is shifting. And Sai Baba has already vouchsafed that every single one of us is going to make it into a golden age. And there will not be a thermonuclear destruction. Why? Because you came. He came. We came. And we decided, not this time, not on our watch, no way, no how. So when you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, you feel like you've been in a battle royal, or like me, you scream out at night in several different languages, and you're not even aware you're doing it. You're part of the battle that's going on the other side of the world. Or maybe it's in the world where you are right now. I have many friends over, live in the Middle East. They're hiding in bomb shelters, dodging bombs. So, wherever you are, God is. Nothing can kill you. Now it can take your body out, yeah. It can look like it is. Look like it's taking you out. No one dies. Get that in your head. No one dies. You cannot kill God, and you are God. You are indistinguishable from God, like the sweetness in honey, like the wind in the atmosphere, like the wetness in water. Like that, you are indistinguishable from God. That is your reality. That is why saints can go to their martyrdom and stand at the stake and be burned and all of that and not feel any pain. They go into a state, into a higher body of light that just watches and witnesses. That's why they go to their death with joy, their apparent death. How do you think they do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit or the Zohar body, if you want to be technical. It's a higher transpersonal body of light, an expansion, if you will, of the Merkaba. But most of us haven't a clue what that is, so let's just be simple. Let's say they just went into a higher state of awareness that was disidentified from the body and the drama. But I've been in those situations where I was right on the brink of catastrophe, right in the midst of an accident. And I went into that transcendental state. And I watched the whole thing unfolding around me in a state of bliss. And it's like that for all of us. I've had several friends commit suicide, or friends of friends, or relatives of friends, let's say, not my friends per se, but acquaintances. And I was asked, what happens to them? Are they damned? Do they go to hell? Do they go to purgatory? What happens to the soul? And I said, they're treated as traumatized, mentally disturbed beings. They're not punished. They're not judged. They are lovingly received and brought into halls of rest where their traumatized state can be slept through as the angels minister to them and certain beings that work out of body with these situations. And when they are finally healed enough, gradually they're brought before a life review so they can review their life. And then they're taken into the educational complexes on the inner planes that's appropriate for their next stage of unfoldment. And they're prepared for another lifetime because they will have to come back and pick up where they left off. That's unfinished business. So all they've done actually is kind of added a little more time. But no, they're not damned to hellfire and all of that, no. The only one that does that is oneself when one is judging oneself and living in a state of self-hatred. They create for themselves then an inner state of mind that is hellacious. But ultimately, everyone is awakened. Ultimately, light finds its way to everyone. And when they open their eyes, they find that they're at home, safe in the arms of the all that is. So those of you that have lost loved ones, you will see them again. Nobody's gone anywhere. Oh, they're out of sight for a little while. Consider they've gone ahead on a vacation, okay? They're having a great vacay. Well, you're still down here, okay? So in a way, they're in a better place. But you will see them again. Nothing can separate eternal love. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing can separate you from those you love. Go inside and find the ones you love. It doesn't matter if they've crossed into another dimension or they're still on Earth. You will find their frequency within your own being. You'll find them inside you. And when you do, you'll never feel lonely again. You will awaken and find not only your loved ones, but the source of love itself dwells in you as you. You live and move and have your being and eternal love. You can sit right where you are right now and expand your aura and realize that every little inch of your room where you're sitting is filled with love, with orbs of light. Now we can have wonderful photographs of orbs of light. What are the orbs? Spirits. Those are the light bodies of other dimensional beings. You see, they're everywhere, everywhere. We're beginning to see, we're beginning to be more sighted so that we can see into the other dimensions. And when we do, we see formerly invisible, lovely things appearing. Lovely manifestations of light and love and beauty. Well, what about people that see devils and ghosts and stuff? Depends on where you're looking. Depends on where you have your fear. Fear has its own forms that appear to you, just as love. We're in a duality world, remember? Everything has its opposite. So you can look to the left and see boogeyman. You can look to the right and see the Christ. It's your choice. You can also awaken, as I have done a few times on the inner planes, where you're confronted with some apparition, some ghostly thing, and you say, ah, you're just an apparition. I know. There's only God. And they'll vanish. They vanish immediately. Because illusions cannot stand in the presence of truth. That's the one thing that cannot occupy the same place. It's truth and illusion. One displaces the other. But one is displaced because it's a fiction, and the other is only temporarily occluded by the illusion of duality. It's not really affected. As I've often said, you're not affected by your passage in time and space any more than your shadow is affected by the terrain it falls upon. Use that as a meditation. Think of your body as a shadow. Think of your passage through time and space as a shadow. Does that mean you have no validity, no reality, no purpose? No. You can be the radiance of the Christ. You can embody this enchilada you call a body as the Christ. And then the very molecules and atoms that constitute the body are transfigured into immortal life. That's when the carnal or the mortal puts on immortality, as it's spoken of in the Bible. We're in a twinkling of an eye, because this is out of time, so to speak. We put on the vestiture of light. We put on the Christ. And that happens every time you meditate, every kind deed you do, every selfless act. Every time you think of God, you import more and more of that crystalline, radiant light into yourselves, until at one point the whole being is filled with light. Like Jesus said, if your eye becomes single, your whole body will be filled with light. What does that mean? It means when you're focused back in the center of your skull, behind your brow, in that soul center, and you stay there, you're in Christ consciousness, and you look out through the upper vision of soul awareness, your whole being is filled with light. At some point, you even let the soul go. Yeah. The soul is the experiencer in time and space. But you're even beyond the soul. You are the Atma. The soul is like an extension down to experience. But the all that is not here to experience. It's in pure isness, pure being. Pure Satchitananda. And so as you move beyond the soul awareness, which still sees a certain degree of duality, you move into the unified one of the all that is. And then everything you see is the self. There is not but the self. And that we can talk about, but for most of us, that's down the road a bit. But we don't have to worry about that, because that last stage of appropriation of godhood is God's hand. God does that. We can only prepare the vehicle. We can meditate, still the agitations of our mind and emotions. We can chant and bring harmonic resonance into ourselves. We can do selfless service and increase the joy and bliss and begin to diminish the sense of ego and selfishness. But ultimately, God realization is the domain of that one Atma who decides that that particular projection of its dream, because us in highest truth again. You've never left the heart of God. So that figure in the dream, let's say, when it's time to reappropriate or reabsorb it into the allness, because if all of them dissolved at the same time, the world would implode. There'd be no more world. And this is a training school for consciousness, for experience, offering all kinds of experience to souls. Why? Because souls are inquisitive. That aspect of awareness presents as inquisitiveness, as a desire to know and learn and advance and progress when it's in the lower worlds. That's what it looks like. So, ultimately, all of the illusion is abstracted and drawn back into the wholeness in conscious awareness. And here we exercise conscious awareness by awakening to the divine within the mundane moment, realizing there are no ordinary moments. There is never nothing going on. There's always something taking place. But it just depends on where you're focused. If you're focused into the world and the phenomena of the world, you won't notice the most miraculous things. But when you awake, when the higher vision is opened, you notice the divine and the godly and the good everywhere. I want to share with you something that Sai Baba said to Dr. Jong Hislop, a friend of mine, who attained God realization in this lifetime. He was an American doctor. And I knew him back in the 70s and 80s, and he passed in the 90s. But anyway, he asked about how it is that we create our own reality, because he didn't see how he was responsible for creating war, because he didn't have any war in his mind. And he said this to Sai Baba in an interview. Everybody is self-conscious. Conscious that he is conscious of his being. Is this consciousness the base, or is there something prior to this? Sai. That consciousness is second. First is God consciousness. God consciousness is the base. John. A source of confusion is about everything being a creation of the mind. Creation of whose mind? Sai. Yes, it is the mind. John. But Swami, how could that be? Is my mind creating war and all of its horrors? I do not find such actions in myself. Sigh. When you think of the world, it exists for you. When you do not think of it for you, the world does not exist. John. When I do not think of the world, it is not in my consciousness. Does the war exist only according to my consciousness of it? There was a beginning to the war. How could that beginning be due only to my mind? Sai. At your stage, it will not be possible for you to grasp this. As long as the mind exists, it is not possible to comprehend the mind and its activity clearly. When thought ceases, there will be no mind, and hence no world, for the world exists only in the mind. The mind is a bundle of thoughts. Do not follow the thoughts. Then the world will not develop for you. Now your thoughts have gone to America, to problems there. But these are just thoughts. If you now follow those thoughts and go to America in your mind, they will bring about the world for you. John. Does Swami mean that one should just be a witness to the thoughts going through one's mind and not do anything about them? Sigh. Exactly. When the mind is destroyed, then the coming into being of the world will be clear to you. There is only God. God only. Hold on to Him. Hold closely to Him. And the matter of the mind will be resolved. John. But Swami, I do hold on to God. My thought is always on Swami. I am always regarding Swami as being in my heart and not someplace else. But my mind is not destroyed. Sigh. It will come. To have that strong confidence is very important. To hold on to God and to know that God is in you and with you and above you and on either side and below, that you live and move and have your being only in God. That is good. Have confidence in that. When the mind is destroyed, the world goes. And God also has no existence. And that last comment he made about God having no existence is because even this concept of God is a projection of the human mind, who has made God in their own image and likeness. And with all of the failings and foibles of and mean-spiritedness and so forth of the human mind. So there you have it. What you think of and follow with your thoughts, you animate and make real for yourself. You live in a world peopled by your own affections, attachments, and aversions. Because what you have a perfect aversion towards, you create as real in your life as that which you have affection for. So it's always a matter of discerning between the real and permanent and the unreal and temporary. Fasten yourself to the real. Keep reminding yourself, God alone is the reality in this situation, in this circumstance, in this happening, in this moment. There's nothing else going on. And the animated body is animated either by the ego, the filter of the ego mind, or it's being animated by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. So one makes you very happy, peaceful, and blissful. The other makes you very agitated, and worried, and anxious. Which one would you rather host? It's your choice. Which one would you rather host? So are you in your final incarnation? You are. If with all your heart, mind, and soul, your intensity, and your passion, you want God. You long for God. You think of God. You prioritize God. Every moment, whether you're awake or asleep or wherever you are, you're all about God. Or truth. Same thing. Or love. But you're passionate to know truth, to be all that you are. And you're restless and often very disillusioned because the world has disappointed you. It has fried you. It has eaten your head. It has consumed your life force and given you nothing but disappointment and heartache. You're tired of it. So you become a seeker. And you seek and you follow others until you realize you can only awaken through your own direct experience. You have to be hungry enough to eat of the angel's food. You have to eat God, drink God, breathe God, think God, be God. And keep bringing your monkey mind back to the truth that God alone is real. And all else is a temporary bad dream from which you're awakening. Always own your divinity. Always own your wholeness. Always own your perfection. You are perfect just as you are. Perfect. You need nothing. Drop all sense of neediness or fallibility or imperfection. Don't even go there. What a waste of time. Be confident that God lives in you as you, that you are immortal, pure, that nothing you have ever done could touch the immaculate divinity that you are forever as one with God. Own it. Realize it. Be it. And be happy. Enjoy your life. Be real. Live in the space and being and presentation that gives you joy. Because every little evidence of happiness means that you have tapped into reality. It means that you have touched into truth. Every little whiff of happiness means that you've made contact with truth, with God. So pay attention to what brings you joy. And find the joy in each moment. In every moment, you can evoke the particles of perfection or the dross of chaos. That's your choice. Everywhere you are, God is present. Everywhere you are. And everywhere you are, the ego is present too, as the doubts and the confusions and the reservations and all the drama. But it dissolves, you see, in the light of your truth. So you don't have to fight your ego. You don't have to kill it or destroy it or do anything with it at all. Just ignore it. It atrophies from lack of attention and lack of use. You know, what you don't use, you lose. So lose the ego, lose the drama, lose the pain. Are you in your final incarnation? You know. You've known for a long time. You just didn't have anyone to encourage you, perhaps, to own it. I would say you are if you're listening to me tonight, because I'm speaking to you, and I'm activating that awareness. Not me, but the divine spirit that flows through me is calling you to awaken and to be free. Step free. Let's take a deep breath. And tonight we'll go out chanting Shanti Hue. Deep breath. Shanti Hue. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Embodiments of purest holiness and divinity. Adonai.